This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 527, recorded July 12th, 2017. It is our annual JD Church Memorial episode. So we're
like 2 weeks late.
We're actually recording it 2 weeks late because, one, I was out sick the week that we normally do it. I had it on my calendar, but I just completely forgot in all the hectic replanning and everything. So,
and all the hectic watching of Spider-Man Homecoming.
How many times did you watch that this weekend, Matt?
Just twice.
I only watched it
Excellent.
Once this weekend.
Friday and Saturday.
But
it was great.
It is our JD Church Memorial episode. So what we do, it's just something where we want to make sure that we remember JD and talk a little bit about him. We're going to get into the survey stuff that we've been talking about later on in the show, but it's obvious by some of the responses, and I even asked the question, basically, how long have you been a fan? Not everybody's been a fan forever. Some people said they only started listening in the last couple of weeks. People are asking about things that we actually did years and years ago. Hey, why don't you do this? Well, we did do that for like 5 years, and we stopped doing it like 5 years ago. JD, so Radio Free Cybertron, I first started doing it in 1999, October of 1999. And we pretty much were consistent through about 2002, 2003. And then after that, it became, due to life events and, you know, just, things. We didn't do it on a regular basis. I think I recorded like an episode every year, year and a half. We posted something. Somebody recorded one and I posted it. So we were really inconsistent and spotty, say from mid 2003 through, 2008. So in 2009, I got a message on Facebook, and I hate Facebook Messenger, but, you know, it was JD Church, and JD said, hey, Brian, you need to bring back Radio Free Cybertron because I want to be a podcaster. And I'm like, JD, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time for that. You know how much of an investment in time that's going to be? And he harassed me about it for months, and I eventually said, okay, I'm going to create a Facebook page for this. If nothing else, it can just be an archive for, like, old shows. But if we get 50 people who like it, I'll bring it back. And we had about 50 people who liked it within like a day. So I brought it back, and it's JD's fault. And he's the reason I'm thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars poorer now. So,
giffradio.net/Amazon.
It's / Amazon UK and Amazon CA now.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, JD passed away in February 2014. Due to an infection that he'd had for quite a while. It was a tragic event. It's one of the worst things that's ever happened to me personally. And I've lost most of my family, but you know, I didn't think, you know, that this period of my life I'd lose somebody so close, but we did. And I seriously miss JD. JD is I love that guy, and we all did. So just wanted to take a minute to remember him.
And if you are a newer listener and you never got to listen to any of the shows he was on, I really encourage you to go back into the back archives, check out some of the shows from 2012, 2013 with JD on them. Also episodes of Superhero Time when we were talking about Power Rangers and Super Sentai and stuff. JD was on that a lot starting from like mid 2012 onward. And like, he made my show so much better with his presence. He just, like, anywhere he would go, he lit up the room he walked into, whether it was, you know, a real place or just like in a gathering like this over Skype. He made the environment.
Yeah. And anytime you bring somebody new onto a podcast, there's a feeling out period. And it's kind of funny that I still worked in radio, so it's not like I didn't know how to talk. In June of 2009, when we started RFC back, the first episode or two was just me and JD, and we were trying to feel the thing out. And it's awkward. So you should go back in the archives at tfradio.net and check that out. So it's pretty awesome. And then not long after, XV and John came back into the fold, and we never looked back. Actually, I looked back quite a bit. Just did me no good.
Yeah.
Yeah, did me no good. So, Diecast is here. Don, Mitch and Matt, Chris, Rob Clay, and John DeLuna. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Excellent.
Hot. It's hot. It is hot.
It's been unpleasant lately.
So, when doing video, like, of course, hopefully people out there watching live, tfradio.net/live, we have a lot of people in the chat, and we love the chat. The chat's awesome. But I always do the podcast in my normal work attire, which is like a polo shirt and slacks. I am wearing shorts right now, not slacks, because it is so dang hot. And I've got the AC on like 65, and it's just not, it's not working. So it's hot. Let's see here. So a couple things I want to get out of the way before starting. So next week, we record the show on Wednesdays, and it normally posts Wednesday night. We are actually going to record Thursday.
Why is that, Brian?
Because San Diego Comic-Con is going on, and Hasbro is going to announce Power of the Primes at HasCon. Wait, no, they're going to do it at SDCC. So they were going to do that at HasCon originally, right?
I don't know if they specifically said they were going to premiere it at HasCon, but they were going to like show off Power of the Primes stuff at HasCon.
Yeah,
so well, both still can be true.
True, okay.
Technically,
the San Diego could be more of a teaser. We're not sure yet.
So we will. So we are not there, but our buddy John Garcia, who has been listening to RFC since the 90s, so probably since episode 2 or 3. We actually recorded Get the Skinny last night with him, which we'll post Friday, and talking to him beforehand. I was just trying to get an idea of exactly how long it's been, because I know it's been a while that he's been listening. Yeah, it was. He basically cited the episode, and it was like October or November of 99. Yeah.
He may well been listening longer than I've been involved with RFC.
It's possible. So there are quite a few folks out there that we still keep in touch with who still listen, who've been listening since the beginning, but it's just really surprising when you talk to somebody who was there. It's just kind of funny, like, wow, people listen and they remember that stuff, so it's kind of crazy. But yeah, so all the Hasbro stuff, I guess, worth talking about will happen on Thursday. If anything else happens along the way, I'm certain we'll have another emergency minicast. We had an emergency minicast this week in respect to the SDCC Revolution set, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. John and Don sat down this week to talk about that. That was a lot of fun. And you can, of course, find that on our Roku channel at tfradio.net/Roku or on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. Just look for Radio Free Cybertron. And like I said, later on in the show, we are going to go over our survey results. Thank you to everybody who submitted a survey. Super helpful. A lot of great feedback. A lot of nice things were said. I wasn't looking for nice things. I was looking for constructive things. So I just, that's a bonus. We're looking for ways to improve things. And I actually will go over some of those opportunities. Some of those things, like if I comment on it and I say if I say that's something we can't do, it's not because I'm arguing with you. It's just there's a reason we can't go there. Got, you know, several things. We're not going to cover everything, but there's some things I wanted to mention. And okay, so before we do anything else, though, I do want to follow up to something we were talking about last week on the show. We were talking about the third-party monster bots, and gosh, who was it that had them? I forgot who we were even talking to, but I said, yeah, I know, it's awesome, it's beautiful, you and the 7 other people who bought it, you know, certainly do that. And, you know, on YouTube, I got into a conversation with one of our viewers who took... offense is a strong word, but who took issue with what I said.
Umbridge.
Yeah, I think I like issue. And I said, of course, you know, that's an exaggeration. More than 7 people bought that. But I started doing the math. This was great because I had some slack time at work. So I opened up Excel. I opened up the Hasbro earnings numbers and stuff. And I tried to figure out how many third-party buyers there are. And I did it as a function of Hasbro Transformers collectors. And I was trying to base it on things I remembered and things I heard. So I'd always heard a number that there were about 50,000 releases of a given toy here or there. So just walk you through the math real quick. Figured out basically how many retailers there were in the U.S., how many shipments of each wave they got. And I came up with a number of about 40,000 item in a wave that, like a deluxe wave, that is probably shipped. So I fudged that up to 50,000 because that made more sense. Did a little bit more math. I figured probably the average collector buys 1 in 10 items that come out. So multiplied that by 10. Then long and short of it, I said there are probably about 100,000-150,000 people who adults over the age of 14, which that's what Hasbro has listed in their release, that buy Transformers, who collect them seriously. So we did some more math. I came up with a number that was XV felt was a little low. I felt was about right on as far as the number of third-party collectors. So we doubled it to account for international. We figure about 10,000 people seriously collect third-party Transformers. So that toy, the MonsterBot, which is awesome, I figure the sales are not in the thousands, but they're definitely at least in the hundreds. And that's probably a realistic amount that actually sells.
For something like the MonsterBots, I think it could get into the thousands just because right now they're alone in that segment of the market. For something like the half dozen Springers, you're really, like, attrition's bringing that down, I think, into probably the hundreds each.
Yeah, so you got to figure out, you know, if there are 10,000 people, probably 20% of those want a Masterpiece Springer. So between 2,000 people, they got to sell all of those six.
Well, you know, also, Brian, like we were saying on the show, the Monster Bots are kind of considered, like, to me, as a set. So kind of, if you're going to get one, you're probably going to get them all.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of repeat people there that if the quality is there on the first one, they're going to want all three.
Oh, yeah.
To complete the set.
I think what we're really looking at here is just any given individual release probably has number of people or X number of units that can be inferred to be sold given the estimated audience size. And, you know, we should disclaim this all with, this is really rough numbers. It's
very
a lot
rough.
Of guesswork.
Guesswork.
You know, these are the things that made sense to us. Kilby put his math to our internal mailing list just for some review. I think I was the only one who actually responded, but like just the proportion of third party buyers to official was the only thing in that seemed immediately off to me. And that's just because from my own experience, it looks like I would say probably half of the third party audience is in mainland Asia, Hong Kong, you know, that whole, like, I think there's a disproportionate amount compared to in like the English speaking world, for example.
Yeah. And we were talking about how many individual units of a third party item are produced. And mm-hmm. I forgot what example Diecast used. And I said, okay, based on what I'm seeing, probably about 1,250. So it was a very popular toy, maybe 3,000, 3,500, but anything average, probably 1,000 or less.
Well, I was going to try to help you, Brian, but you used Excel, and I only know Lotus 1, 2, 3, so I couldn't
it's
help
same,
with that.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
My
so.
Mom used Lotus 1, 2, 3 when I was 8.
Thanks! Awesome. I appreciate that.
So, yeah. But I just wanted to mention that because some of the feedback I got, and I'll get into it again a little bit more. Obviously, some people who love third parties said that we are too hard on third party. And that is definitely true sometimes. Not always.
But when they make half a dozen of the same character at the same time across as many companies.
Yeah, there you go.
They're kind of asking for it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do want to share some of the feedback because I think it's fascinating. So after the news, we'll talk about that. But speaking of feedback, the overwhelming number one thing that people wanted to change was to bring back, did anybody get anything this weekend, to RFC. We do it, but we limit it. So I'm taking that feedback. I'm doing it. So we are going to just, what did you guys get this week? Anybody get anything? Diecast, what did you get this week?
Oh,
I got...
Let her fly.
What?
I'll get a book.
Speaking about oversized KOs, I got the Wai Zhang, Titans Return, Croc, or not Croc, what's his
Skull
name?
Cruncher.
Skull Cruncher.
Skull Smasher.
And
why is his head white, though?
I don't know. It's an odd choice. And I also got their hard head, which is very nice.
Yeah, I think our friend Mock Tackle on Twitter has one or both of those also and was posting some pictures in the last day or two.
I also got a Masterpiece Bumblebee.
Hey, how do you like that?
They left a screw out, so when I used the battle mask...
Did you get the Taobao?
Yes.
Well, there's your problem.
No, no, it's an official piece. It's not like it's
unofficial. Of course it's an official piece, but...
an official factory reject.
Yeah. No, just like
that chrome dome with no wheel.
Yeah. I have bad QC luck.
Because you buy from Taobao.
He was missing a screw, and his head explodes when you try and use the battle mask. Other than that, he's fine.
Okay, with that cast, double check the seller's other auctions. The screw is probably for sale at another auction.
So what you're saying is that you have a screw loose.
Yes, pretty much.
But he doesn't look like Wingbat.
I also got a very large non-transformable Galvatron.
I was checking eBay to see how much one of those would cost. I was hoping it would cost less than an oil change. I couldn't verify that it was.
And the packaging is very nice, where you can actually open it up, take the figure out, and then
collector friendly.
Pop it back. Yes, it's very collector friendly.
Will you be doing a review of that on your channel, Diecast?
It has 4 points of articulation.
Do a review. People will watch it.
You want to.
Fair to review.
People will watch that.
Okay. Maybe.
Especially if it's like a half an hour review on that.
If you have less points of articulation than a Kenner reaction figure, there's a problem.
Yes, I guess. You actually like went through the proper process and got the oil and everything and sent in the form for that?
Yes.
Review the oil too in the same video.
And I also got Fantoys Spindrift. He is really nice in hand. He's still, I wish he was a little bit not.
For people not watching the video, that's Sea Spray.
He looks very skinny, but he's very solid, good transformation, really fun figure.
So you like him more than Cosmos?
Well, that was Toy World's Cosmos, and that thing was atrocious. But yeah, he's really nice. And there's probably something else I got I'm just forgetting, so I'll pass it on to someone else. Okay.
Don?
I picked up two things this week. The day after the Toys R Us sale for buy one, get one ended, of course they got a new product. Yeah. And Skeletron and the recolor, the really nice recolor of that Generations Megatron Stealth Bomber came in. And I picked up those two. Although I am still I'm on the fence about keeping Skeletron because of the floppiness issues that it and Steelbane seem to have. I still haven't decided if I'm going to keep it or not. But I wasn't planning on buying the Megatron at all until I saw it in person and how great those colors look. So I figured, well, I might as well while I'm here because it's a pretty figure. And I only have the G2 Dreadwind version of that. I didn't get the actual Megatron Bomber because I had no connection to the IDW character. So it was like, eh, whatever. So
that's got to be a hell of a deco on it to make you spend $20 on that, Don.
Plus I had some rewards points. So, Dynamics came into play. But, other than the being disappointed in the Skeletron reviews that I'm seeing where he's just turning into, like, you know, Mr. Floppy Butt, you know.
Floppy Butt.
Yeah.
I love my Skeletron. Butt.
Yeah.
And I also have a review of it.
Yeah.
It's on our website, tf40.net.
Yes,
click on RFC reviews.
Yeah, so that's all I got other than some non-Transformer stuff.
Matt?
I got E-Hobby Magna Convoy.
Ooh.
I have never seen that mold before. That must be
But it's blue now, Don. Look at it.
So he's depressed.
And he has a sword.
It's his blue period.
Indeed, he's very depressed, yes.
because they won't let him die.
Yeah, I don't know. They must have done a lot of work to this mold because, I mean, all the joints feel really, really good on this thing. I was impressed.
I've never heard of
it. It does have some chrome on it, which, you know, makes me unhappy. But, I mean, it's pretty. Yeah.
I've never heard of I've not heard of that mold having any issues at all on tolerances.
It's 11 years old, and it's been used at least 8 times, I think. What with Cloud and Henkei and Classics and all the various BotCon releases.
Remember there was the Toys R Us release during Age of Extinction in the 2-pack with Invasion Mode Optimus? I can't remember for sure, but I want to say there was some complaints about it not holding up well in that set. Maybe they did some rehab on it since.
Yeah. It it turned out really, really nice, though. It's a nice dark shade of blue, and it's really pretty.
That's beautiful.
Super happy with it.
Yeah. It's one of those oddball color schemes you never see on a Prime, but once you finally see it, it looks nice. You know, it's sort of like the EVA colors on you know, Optimus. I would have never thought those colors would look good on Optimus Prime, but to
even
me it
when
does.
You saw them on Shattered Glass Optimus,
the purple colors, yeah, I like those too.
But as a fan of the Powered Convoy, I was really, really excited when they announced this.
I never even thought about Powered Convoy.
Yeah. Brian's going to go pre-order this now.
So. I really wish fans probably.
That's the whole reference, Brian.
It didn't occur to me. It's a blue Optimus. It didn't click because he doesn't have the trailer.
I have the Fans Project upgrade armor in the Powered Convoy colors, so yeah. I'm okay.
Yeah, because you know I keep hoping that. Fans Toys will release. I know it's a little outdated by this point, but when they do molds like that, that would be a good companion piece to get, if just for the trailer in vehicle mode for display.
Cool.
Even if you on the other hand, that would be counting on Fans Project to get another product out ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't place money on that. So,
Chris, you get anything?
I'll go last.
Okay. Well, okay, you can go last. John, Rob.
Not me.
Okay.
I got Magna Convoy too. Sorry, Brian. I think it's sold out most places. Oh, a life of regret.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll live with
it. He'll forget about by the end of the show.
This is true. So I got Voyager. I keep wanting to say leader. Voyager Megatron from the last night.
Yeah.
And I like it. I haven't really had a chance to play with it much, but the joints are really tight. I like the look of it. The tail on it's really nice. I just hate that it's $30 and I'd miss the buy one, get one because I would have got Hound as well, but I'm not dropping $60 on two tiny Voyager toys. but that's okay because I was at Target this weekend. It's not a Transformer, but I got this Zoomer Chimp. It's the best thing ever. Oh God, is the power? Oh. Yes. Oh. It's a little chimp. He walks around. Max is barking at him. He walks. You can pet him. You can tell him to do things. It's amazing. He's got hiccups.
Yeah.
It's like having a kid. It's just like having a kid.
Yeah. And all Brian had to do is dial in for a monkey.
Yes.
This is Kilby's new thingamajig.
That's exactly how I described it to Kim. She's like, why do you need that? I'm like, this is the new thingamajig. And for people who weren't listening 7-8 years ago, however long ago that was, I played with my Thingamajig basically every episode.
Okay, Brian. Call it. Brian, can you rephrase that? You might need to rephrase
it. I would squeeze and it would sing.
What was that, 2010, 2011?
Oh, probably, 6 years ago, whatever it was. But yeah, this is my new gimmick. He's a little monkey, and he's cute and creepy, and the dog loves it. It's the dog's new best friend.
I can confirm that a robot chimp that you can buy at a thrift store for $60 is exactly like having a 3-year-old human.
Yeah.
Just like it.
$35 at Target. Yeah. Good deal.
That's a lot cheaper than a human child.
It is. Now I had to pay for it once.
And I think if you properly care for the child, sure. But if you cut some corners, I don't know.
The down payment is free. It's the upkeep that kills you.
Well, the down payment is free for most people.
Yes.
Chris, what'd you get?
Okay, so I got like a special thing coming in the mail that didn't quite make it here today.
I have Trypticon coming. He'll be here next week.
I don't have anything that big coming, but it's, you know, cooler than Trypticon. So what I have is off topic, but it's still pretty cool. I got finally a new camera to replace my one that's not working right.
Oh, that's nice look. Green. Is that wood grain?
No, it's
leather?
Fake leather texture. But it's all plastic. Wait, that's a plastic inlay on a metal body.
Wait, is that a Sony?
A Canon G9X.
Oh, okay. I thought it looked like a Sony mirrorless from here.
No. So this is not the one that I had picked out before that you were commenting on last week, which was the Canon PowerShot 710HS. This actually is a 1-inch class sensor camera.
Mm-hmm.
So like twice as big as most point and shoots have.
Ooh.
It does 60 frames a second, 1080 video. It's got tons of manual controls. And it also has the widest aperture lens of anything I've owned. It goes down to F2. It has only 3x optical zoom, but like for what I use these cameras for, which is, you know, shooting on my table over there, I don't ever use the zoom anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah.
The super zoom on the 710 would have been an interesting bonus, but probably not something I would barely ever use. This also can connect over Wi-Fi to a phone to use it as a remote viewfinder and shutter trigger, which I really think is cool. And fortunately, that Wi-Fi function works. The Wi-Fi to connect to a computer and transfer files off of the memory card does not work, so I still have to do that manually. But one of the most important things this does, which the other cameras I had been looking at don't, this shoots in RAW format. And for people not photographically conversant, RAW is basically the uncompressed data that the camera sensor produces before it's sent to the onboard processor, which makes the JPEGs that most cameras output. So it produces 20 megabyte uncompressed images. And that's also why I wanted to go with something with the 1-inch class sensor, because it's a 20 megapixel camera. Basically, everything I was looking at was in the 20 megapixel range, but it had the 1/2 sensor, which is teeny tiny, about the size of what's in a cell phone camera. And basically, it's at the limit of the pixel density you can really get out of that. And so you don't really get clear pictures at 20 megapixels on the normal sensors. This makes really, really pretty photos with its 1-inch sensor and the uncompressed photo format. So, like, I'm really excited about how I'm going to be able to progress with my photography with this, especially since this one works.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, it's weird because back when I was selling cameras many years ago, to get even a fraction of that, you would have had to go into one of the high-end Canon EOS Rebels. To get even a fraction of that, and that would have been $6.99 or $7.99 at the time, with just your basic 35-80 zoom lens.
Yeah, so I paid I paid about $350 for this one, and like in every quantifiable respect, it's superior to the Nikon D40 that I paid $700 for 10 years ago. The lens is even better than what the Nikon has in terms of its aperture range.
Well, I was going to ask you, you just couldn't use your phone. You know, this isn't a case where your phone would have done good enough. You needed these specifics.
When I bought this phone, I had hoped that its camera would be good enough to use as a backup in case something happened to my main camera. In practice, it just didn't work out that way. This phone has kind of an overheating problem, and when it warms up, the frame rate of the video drops randomly. It has a fairly wide aperture, and it can, because it doesn't have to have a zoom lens built in, so they can just make it as wide as they can make it. But that's not controllable, so the depth of focus is not very deep. It's not really good for, like, really close-in shooting, because you get just, like, a little sliver of in-focus area, and then everything around it is fuzzy. The phone camera is really good for, like, being out places and taking pictures. Anything where you're a little bit of a distance away from something, because the farther you are, the more your depth of field increases, even with a narrow aperture. So like it's great for that kind of stuff. If I want to shoot video when I'm out somewhere, little clips quickly, it's good for that too. It's not good for the kind of production level I do. This, I've been playing with it for about 24 hours, and it's really, I'm getting used to it still, but I'm really happy with what I'm getting out of it. Probably by the time this goes up as podcast format, I'll have some sample pictures from it up on my Twitter at ChrisRTXV. Cool. Just for, like, Twitter does really horrible things to JPEGs these days. Yeah. And even converts PNG files to JPEG unless you leave some transparency in them. So it's not going to look as good as it could. But the next galleries and stuff I post at T-Formers ought to look pretty spectacular.
Cool. What else? Anything else?
That's the only thing I actually have for the other cool thing that's on the way. You'll have to check back next week.
Very cool. Okay. So Diecast and I, at the very least, will have, I'm assuming probably Matt and John too, have Trypticon by next week, it sounds like.
Yes. Actually, I have not got my ship notification yet.
Oh, okay. We'll see. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll have
I'm not
mine.
Getting him.
Yeah.
Matt, yours didn't like go into pile of loot, did it?
I mean, I haven't got a confirmation that it's come in yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's jump to this week in history. It's a big one.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. Possibly the most important thing to happen to the Transformers since the Transformers.
Probably. I mean, Transformers, it was popular in the 80s, but this is what really made Transformers big and have a lasting impact on the world.
1992, 25 years ago.
To the day.
To the day of this recording.
July 12th.
It's fate. It's fate. There's no another way to describe it. It's fate. The Headmaster's dub premieres in Malaysia with the four soldiers from the sky.
And then Transformers was ruined forever.
No. No. No.
Ruined forever!
No. No.
Ruined forever.
It's the best thing. It's the only thing, really.
It's the suckiest thing. One of the suckiest things. The only thing worse would be Nightscream from Beast Machines getting his own television show.
Dad, what are you talking about? What is it that you hate about the dubs?
You want the list alphabetically or numerically?
You know, if Beast Machines had happened like 5 years earlier, I think we really could have gotten something out of it that basically was what G.I. Joe did, where it was, you know, Nightscream and the Transformers.
Oh.
You know.
It's a shame, really, that everything isn't dubbed like the Transformers. It's a shame that the Transformers as we know it debuted in English. Otherwise, we would have the Malaysian dub
of G1.
Of
yeah.
G1. Just imagine how iconic that Optimus Prime would have been in the memories of all of us, you know, 30 and 40 year olds who sit
Brian,
here.
My eyes cannot roll any harder than they're rolling right now unless they fall out of my skull across the floor.
What's the matter with the Headmaster Don? God,
he can't fight. He can't fight because he's sick to his stomach.
So great. I'm laying it on thick, but I genuinely, seriously, and honestly love the dubs. They are probably my favorite thing from Transformers. And that's saying
if
a lot.
If only we could have got a dub like this for Beast Wars instead of the Japanese dub, which just, you know, makes no sense.
War, stop it.
So, I mean, that part's great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Man, that'd be great. Okay, so in all seriousness, that's the best news ever. If I was going to do a spinoff podcast just dedicated to the dubs, wait, I might do a spinoff podcast just dedicated to the dubs. That's a good idea. Let me write that down. Okay. I can hang up on you if you want me to, Don. Okay, let's jump to the big news item for the week. We actually did a podcast about this week, which is the IDW Revolution comic crossover mega box set from San Diego Comic-Con. It's $100. It's a deal. Basically, it comes with what's effectively the Takara. Is it Henkei, I guess, at that point?
No, it was Legends.
So Legends, okay. So it's Jetfire without the chrome, plus it comes with Matt Tracker, Rom, some guy from something called Visionaries. Roadblock.
Though it has Action Man.
It's got Action Man, so it's
No. It has the most important thing in the set. It's got Leoric from Visionary. It's Leoric from Visionaries, the first new figure in 30 years. Screw Action Man.
Well, new. I mean, it's still just a G.I. Joe body.
So
don't care.
So it has Dire Wraith, and Dire Wraith is from ROM?
ROM, yes. Yeah,
based on the name, I thought it was from Dungeons & Dragons, honestly.
They were a race of shape-shifting aliens trying to bring magic back to the universe.
It's the most D&D name ever. It's like a dire wolf or a wraith. It's a dire wraith. It might as well be in 5th edition.
I mean, they did come up with this in the 70s, didn't they?
Yep.
Might as well be like a kobold or something.
They may have had one of those too, I'm not sure.
Rom looks pretty awesome. He's 3 3/4 inches.
Very retro.
Very retro. That's a really nice looking figure. Mm-hmm. Really pleased with that. So the Dire Wraith, is that based on that mutant thing from G.I. Joe?
The G.I. Joe zombie?
Yeah, the zombie, yeah.
I think it's got some of its parts.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was talking to John about it on the minicast.
Well, G.I. Joe is easy to mix and match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also mentioned on the minicast of how, remember when we were talking about this before a long time ago, how I was saying if they bring back Mask and Visionaries and they restart G.I. Joe, using a shared buck between all three makes the most sense because you get the most number of parts with the least number of castings for different characters and different choices. So
what's this guy's name? The Visionaries guy?
Leoric.
I was going to say Ulorik. That's like a medicine, though. So Leoric, I don't even mind the lack of holograms on it. I still think that looks nice.
I kind of do. It's like I told John, it's like, but were the late 80s the highlight of hologram technology? Is that the best we could do and we just can't do any better? Because that's kind of the one disappointment I have is there's no hologram. But it looks like the pinstriping around the owl might be glow-in-the-dark pinstriping, so it might have a glow-in-the-dark effect, and I can't quite tell.
How much does this Matt Tracker have in common with the previous Matt Tracker?
Rob, as far as I can tell, everything except the head sculpt is from the G.I. Joe Specialist Tracker figure. That's the best I can tell from this distance.
Yeah, so, gosh, I'm trying to remember. It looks... So this was from 25th? Wasn't it from 25th?
Yeah,
it was before Persona Cobra. To me, it looks more almost like a Renegade sculpt, but I know it's not. So it looks nice. It looks nice.
And just as you know, information for folks out there. Yeah, there was a 25th anniversary G.I. Joe Specialist Tracker. If you really are that married to the original character design, if you're not following IDW. That is available on eBay, so you know there is a Matt Tracker for everybody.
In the IDW,
and it's not particularly expensive either.
In the IDW universe, he's black. In the cartoon universe, he's white. So that's the difference. Roadblock, and this is the Renegade's Roadblock, right?
I believe that's what I heard. Yeah,
because he's got the chops and everything. Nice looking figure. I don't like the head sculpt, but I'll live with it because again, it's not my Roadblock. My Roadblock had a mustache.
Yeah. When John and I were talking about this, I was saying I'm not a huge G.I. Joe fan, but I wish it had been someone like really unique, like maybe a new version of the Pimp Daddy Destro.
I heard you mention that. I don't get that though, because nobody cares. The Leoric is as
you're
obscure,
a monster.
It's as obscure as this stuff is going to get. And I don't think you need to get more obscure by adding an obscure G.I. Joe character. It's like you're multiplying by a decimal. So by every time you multiply it by something, you're making it less enticing for somebody to buy the whole overall set.
Are you saying if that was Nemesis Enforcer, you would like it less? You're a liar.
I'm not saying I would like it less. I'm saying it would be less enticing for somebody to buy. Or it'd have to be something like the Nemesis Enforcer
Chuckles.
Came out.
Chuckles.
Yeah, Chuckles. I don't think people care about Chuckles.
I care, Brian.
But Nemesis Enforcer came out for the anniversary series, so it's not like it's been that long since we got one of those. It'd have to be something like Dom mentioned, Pimp Daddy Destro, which, of course, was an exclusive before, so the likelihood of that being in there is not very high. Gosh, what would be something...
Maybe if his name was... Pimp Daddy Destro trademark.
When was the last time they did like a belly figure? They had to do one of those for like Joe-Con or something. That would be about, or we did Dr. Biggles Jones we got recently. It'd have to be something that's not common or something that's very common. And this is very common. It's just not the, it's
that
just
narrows it down.
Well, I'm just saying it'd have to be something that's very enticing to G.I. Joe collectors, or it'd have to be
like a G.I. Joe at all.
Or something that's very... That's a great point. Or something that's very enticing to the overall nerd culture that, you know, everybody knows like Duke. Everybody knows like Flint, Cobra Commander, Destro, Snake Eyes, Roadblock. They couldn't do Sergeant Slaughter or a redo of that Rowdy Piper because of, I guess, licensing
and
everything.
Do you want the G.I. Joe Extreme characters?
Nobody wants a G.I. Joe Extreme characters.
I suggested a new Quick Kick, a new Quick Kick figure. We haven't seen one of those in a while. And he's a popular character.
A gym figure. Gus one in the chat said a gym figure. That would have actually been pretty cool.
I'm kind of surprised there's not one in this set. You know, it just...
Well, you see, the IDW gem comic does not connect to the other Hasbroverse things, to my knowledge. So,
and Gus also said Inhumanoids. Inhumanoids hasn't shown up in Revolution, have they? It's a shame.
Don't think so.
It's a shame.
Yeah, I think Inhumanoids and Robotics are the last two major Hasbro properties from that time period that haven't resurfaced.
I haven't been following the wider Revolution offerings, but like from what I'm hearing from people who do, it sounds like they might be trying to set up the possibility of Inhumanoids in the future.
So what was I gonna say? I forgot. It's not important. Yeah, cool. So at this point, it'd be slow kick. Benjamin Yoon in the chat said that. It's really funny. It's true. Okay, so what else we got going on? Okay. Sad news. Really sad news. This week, Wally Burr passed away, age of 91. Of course, Wally is, of course, for us, best known as the director for the Transformers, the voice director. He is the person responsible for basically the sound of the Transformers cartoon as we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Highly influential in how that came together. And that's a shame, but he did live a good long life. Don, was it 2003 that he was at OTFCC?
I think I believe that was the year I was talking about that he was selling copies of the animation art for one of the charities that they were working with that year.
That's the only year that I know for certain that I saw him. And the only reason I remember is because our friend Hooper X, who used to be on the show, made him cry. It was actually, and now it's not funny, but it was kind of funny in 2003. He asked him how Orson Welles was to work with in Transformers the movie, and he gave this really nice story about how what a great guy Welles was, and it touched his heart. But Wally Burr is an awesome human being. We owe him a lot. Hell, I mean, even today we're still living in his shadow. Look at the Michael Bay movies, Megatron is now, of course, Frank Welker, basically doing the same voice. Optimus Prime is Peter Cullen, basically doing the same voice, minus contractions. So it's
also minus joy and youth and energy.
Yeah. But Wally Wally did a great job because Peter Cullen was awesome back then.
The other thing you can point to also is that, like, a lot of time, anytime someone tries to perform a G1 Starscream, they're trying to imitate like the highs of Chris Latta, which that has to be something that Wally Burr brought out for the right moments. But because that's all anybody does, you can understand like Wally Burr understood more how to use Latta's talents and actually get a more varied Starscream instead of just this caricature like most subsequent attempts end up being.
Yep. Yeah, but it's a huge loss, we wish his family the best. Thankfully, he did live a long life. Okay, moving along. Power of the Primes to be revealed at the Hasbro Transformers panel next week. We'll be talking about that next Thursday.
I'm looking forward to that. Seeing what exactly they're doing and what the gimmick is for this.
Yeah, I mean, even if we only see a couple toys at SDCC, even if they hold back a lot for HasCon, which I don't expect is what's going to happen, but even if that is what happens, we will at least figure out what the gimmick for the line is, and that's, to me, more important than anything right now.
Yeah. Man. So, I guess we will see a couple toys. Hopefully more. I mean, at this point, they'll start shipping, we would expect. We don't have any idea, but...
Actually, we do. Combiner Wars started hitting retail late December, early January of 2015.
Basing this on historical precedent, not specifically.
Basing this on the pattern of toy line releases.
And I'm not saying that's an invalid way of doing it. I just want to make sure that people know that we don't have news on that.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the timing still works out anyway because they showed the first Combiner Wars toys at SDCC the summer before. So. We had to wait for New York Comic Con to really get anything meaningful about Titans Return before it launched, and that was a little bit bigger window. So it's reasonable to think that we're going to get the first waves of Power of the Primes around January at the latest.
Yeah. So
by extension, Wave 6 Titans Return, which is the last assortment we can assume exists, should be around October.
Well, hopefully we'll see some stuff soon because I'm getting antsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so after that, what do we got here? Fans Toys Terminus Giganticus, Ouchicus My Walletus, unofficial, and it has been dubbed Absurd Scale. Not Masterpiece Scale, Absurd Scale. Mega Supreme Instructions and Final Product Images.
I mean, have you seen the size of this thing?
It's ridiculous.
It is.
It's absurd.
It's pretty. Yeah, so here's the problem. In this photo, we're showing right now, the scale is Phoenix, which is also ridiculously huge.
Yep.
So
I love it. I love it.
There's some pictures in the album of half of Terminus Giganticus in the styrofoam inner packaging, and that's an adult woman's arm reaching across that in that photo.
Oh gosh, let me find that.
I love it. It's great.
So I think it's one of the first photos in that gallery.
You're getting this right, Diecast.
Oh yes.
How long do you have both parts?
At least until August.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I don't have the first part yet, so I have no idea.
That's an adult woman. That's not like a 2-year-old.
Mm-mm. Dang. Because I saw other pictures of an adult male holding up the torso piece, and the size correlates.
So I would be so pissed off now that I'm seeing this. When I got the first package and I just got that, I would be utterly pissed off.
Because they're not even sending you. They are not even sending you the parts you need to make like the full track.
That is like, so it's stupid.
It's the four edge track pieces. The ramp parts are the legs. They come in part B.
I'm not knocking the quality of the figure itself because it looks phenomenal. But yeah, the closer we get to this, and it's sinking in how this really works out, it's the dumbest idea anyone has ever had.
Very inaccurate. I think a lot of people want a Transformer figure this big, especially Omega Supreme.
No,
that's not what Kilby's saying,
two
though.
Parts. It's,
yeah, that's the ridiculous.
I get a
part.
Box of something I can't use, and I got to wait for the other box for something I can't use. It's stupid.
Did you ever try to build a motorcycle or build a car?
This isn't a motorcycle. This is a freaking toy.
This is a toy.
This is a toy.
We know at least one retailer looks like they're holding back and just are going to ship both parts as one unit. So, like, those people ordering from them will have to wait a little bit longer, but they will get a complete toy in the mail.
It's pretty
ridiculously large box.
Is it going freight?
It would almost have to. I could see this arriving on a wooden pallet.
Yeah, palletized. Yeah, exactly. Like, again, I'm not knocking the toy. The way it looks. I'm knocking the strategy that they're using. DX9 is not doing this.
No, you know how big the box would be, though? This is smart that they're doing it this way. I mean, I know you may not look it that way, but the type of premium packaging that Fans Toys uses with styrofoam, if you made that box any bigger, shipping would be ridiculous.
It's going to be ridiculous still, because you got to ship to
Yeah, you just have to pay it twice.
I still think it's going to be better as the option of a huge box.
Then ship two huge boxes at once.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm guessing. So I'm guessing they're doing it for shipping purposes.
It's not like the IKEA model where you get something and it might be two or three boxes, because I leave IKEA with two or three boxes. I don't go get like one box for the furniture this week and then a month later the other box where I can put it together. I get it at once. And, you know, it'll be a moot point in a month or 2 months once the whole thing is out. But this interim period, it's so dumb. Just wait to ship it all at once, even if you have it in two boxes. I'm fine with the two boxes as long as you ship it at once.
I think, though, when you get part B, like, there's all the parts there to make, like, the whole rocket. But by that point, you'll also have part A, so you can just put the whole toy together and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, but man, it looks nice. It really does. Not taken away from it. Okay, so Unique Toys, new prototype shown for Palm Collection lineup.
That's what they're calling their little legend-sized Headmaster figures. It's their Palm Collection, Palm Series.
Cerebro's Highbrow Snapdragon 8 Face. Interesting. So this is their legend scale, right?
Yeah. They did the Chrome Dome and the Weird Wolf.
Hey, what's the matter with the Headmasters?
The first, yeah. It's interesting, though, that they're doing a Cerebros. Like, It turns into a head.
Oh, well, so there it is.
It's going to be a compatible Fort Max body scaled with it. Because otherwise, it's kind of weird to just, like, sell a head.
Mind Wipe looks nice. This is interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, these prototypes look like they're 3D printed at this point.
They do, but they even for 3D printed, they look... I don't know. I'm looking at
on
here...
On some of the close-up ones, you can see striation on them that looks consistent with 3D printing.
It's a much better. It's a much, much better 3D printer than what I've seen. But I buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if they have, you know, a commercial grade 3D printer for their rapid prototyping, or like have connection with someone who can do that for them.
Yeah, man. Okay.
I think we've seen Unique Toys present other prototypes as 3D prints also. So this wouldn't be like a new thing for them either.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, that's the easiest way to do it.
Well, that's what 3D printing is actually for, yeah. Anyway. Like, that's what the technology was developed for.
Okay, so Wonder Woman defeats Optimus Prime, the Transformers.
I love that headline. Good job, Rob.
Last night.
Thank you.
Falls to fifth. $6 million domestic take in week three. Oh.
Yes. Transformers last night took $6 million in its third week.
Is that week or weekend?
I think that's the whole week.
That can't be the whole
week.
Ouch.
And Wonder Woman, in the same amount of time, made $10 million in its sixth week of release.
Which has been out for over a month now.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
I'm just real quick checking Box Office Mojo, because that is
hard. Even if it's just the third weekend take, that's $6 million, that's still terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Week?
It is the whole week.
3, 6, 8... 10, 12, no, it's more than that. That's $6 million for the weekend? I don't even know what that's for, so I'm looking. So
it's still awful.
But that's the third weekend.
That's the weekend.
Right?
That's
Yeah,
no, it should be more than that. It should be like 15 or 20.
I mean, all the numbers should be more than what they've been being.
Yeah, that's still ridiculous.
Realistically speaking, having seen the movie, no, not really.
Here's how crazy this is. Here's how crazy this is. This is a huge drop. Okay, so Sunday the 3rd through the 5th. Sunday, June 3rd, $5.5 million. The 3rd, pardon me, Sunday, July 2nd, the 5.5. July 3rd, 3.6. 4th, 3.4. 5th, 1.9. So on Wednesday, it made $1.9 million. So I'm skipping ahead to Friday, $1.8 million. It made more in the middle of the week than the next Friday made, which is kind of crazy considering that's the day people go to the movies, that and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, not good. Okay, so yeah, Transformers.
They're still making Bumblebee, though.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be better.
Well, you know, they got
it's
a good
got
reason.
A shot.
Yeah, well, they got a good reason to make the Bumblebee considering the next article or two.
Yeah, last night, Bumblebee Evolution 3-pack confirmed an Amazon listing. 65 pounds. That's a lot.
Yeah, but you have to remember how they price Transformers in the UK. They take the dollar price from the US and put a pound sign on it. That is literally how it works.
That's crazy. So yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of money for that set.
So what it seems to be is the two classic Camaro molds, the 2007 one and the Age of Extinction one, and then also the new deluxe from The Last Knight.
Which is really not a new one because this is slightly...
No. The actual new one from Wave 3, Age of Extinction one. There was a leak when we were talking about the tribute leader Optimus, the Chrome 2007 mold. There was a little bit of the box of this 3-pack visible, and the little bit you can see of the Last Knight one's stock photo on the back is the same stock photo they're sending out for the Wave 3 toy. So it's that one for sure.
Wow. Well, I probably won't be getting that. So
you might be able to get the Age of Extinction classic Bumblebee in not black though.
Okay. Well, probably still not.
If it matters to you.
Okay, so Bumblebee gets $22 million extra to, I guess that's a tax break or is that a payout to film in California?
I think it's got a bribe.
Stop taking your movies outside.
It's a filming incentive.
Please come back. Please come back to California.
From what I recall, the article, it's to film exclusively in California.
Weird.
Couldn't they use that money for, like, you know, water and water?
Oh, they have water. They're just selling it to Nestle.
Yeah. So this is going to sound like a dumb question, but I'm basing it on something. We have the new lead in the Transformers movie. Is it Jorge or George?
No.
So,
with that spelling, I'd say Jorge, but I can't guarantee.
It's sometimes George.
Yeah.
Especially with the name Lindenborg Jr. I want to say Jorge because typically it's Jorge, but usually people whose name is George and spelled that way, when you say Jorge, they get really angry. But Jorge,
Just split the difference and call him Jorge.
Jorge. He's going to take the lead in the new Bumblebee movie. I don't know who this guy is. So,
I think he's new. Like,
he's young.
I think he's done a little bit of work before, but not anything super notable.
According to this, he was somewhere in Spider-Man Homecoming, but
I think one of the, like, you know, friend characters at school.
Cool. Yeah.
I think he was one of the newscasters for the school
news. Oh, they were good. He and Liz.
Betty.
Was it Betty? Oh, Betty.
Betty Brandt.
Oh yeah, that
Liz.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Liz was the his love interest. Yeah,
Betty Brandt. Here's the thing that kind of worries me. It says, as word has it, this one will feature less robots and more human character development. We're already not getting a lot of robots in the Transformers movies as is.
But we're also not getting a lot of human character development, so... Yeah.
Okay.
Well, granted, I think we did in Last Night more than the rest of them, but it's still not
okay, listen.
Lot.
This movie's going to have a different director. It's going to have a different, like... production concept behind it. I'm going to give it a chance. I want to see if this can, like, bring something new to the franchise and maybe get it back on its feet. The film franchise specifically, yeah. I mean here, not the franchise in general,
yeah.
Before we get angry letters.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. So,
angry letters.
So, Legends, Bumblebee.
I've gotten angry letters before. It's fun.
Yeah. I get them all the time. Bumblebee, Slugslinger, Perceptor, and Octone full stock images. Okay, I wondered before how they were going to make a headmaster look like the exosuit. Well, that's how.
What's the matter with the headmaster? Well, they put a really bad idea into it.
I don't hate it.
Did you get a good look at what they've done with the head?
I only see it in robot mode right now.
Can you imagine how much of a non-issue that's going to be in person, because that's going to be tiny? I mean,
yeah, no, I've realized that, but in these photos, it's super unflattering. Okay, so what they've done, the Titan Master's head is not painted on the outside. It's cast in clear plastic. They have back painted the cavity in there, which has a human-ish face molded into it. They painted that skin color to look like the bubble helmet on the exosuit. But in practice, when you get close to that with a camera, it looks like it's RoboCop with his helmet off.
I love it!
No, look, as a base concept in isolation, that's really cool, because, like, you know, the headmasters and target masters and stuff should be kind of body horror when you really think about it.
Baby food.
At the same time, though, this is Spike.
And with the head mold and clear plastic, I would never, ever put this on a figure.
I mean, you make a good point.
I need this. I need these. I didn't have them pre-ordered.
Yeah, I think I need to cancel my pre-order for Hasbro Octane and switch to Takara.
I haven't actually gotten to it yet, so I'm going to skip to that.
That's on the other hand. Octane's really the most important other one in here. The other two aren't that big of a deal. Soulslinger's got good pictures, though.
To be fair,
they did a pretty good job matching the paint and plastic on that Bumblebee. Like, significantly better than the U.S. release, if that is indicative of the final product.
Octane looks
great.
If
I did not own a version of this mold, I would have that on pre-order now, because they did such a good job with that. But I know what that mold's like, and I still don't need to own another one.
Oh, I agree.
Yes, Octane. Excellent work on Octane.
Even the jet mode doesn't look terrible.
Mm-hmm. No, they've actually done a competent deco on this Octane, and they've also given it the best pack-in ever today.
What's
the best packing ever today? The Ghost of Starscream as a Titan Master.
Holy crap. I'm pre-ordering this right now.
Now, that's also cast in clear plastic. So, as Matt had correctly pointed out, I would recommend against actually using that very much. But they've done something really clever with this. So, the Starscream Titan Master, the Seeker face on its back has to be an existing mold element, because the Titan Master itself is the Nightbeat sculpt. So this is probably an alternate that was already built in. They never got around to using.
Didn't we see
what they had done? It looks very similar to the Combiner Wars Ghost Starscream head, the Unite Warriors Galvatronus one.
Ah, okay.
Where you're getting them put together. Now, what they've done with Octane is really interesting because Octane still has the flip-up shoulder stack parts. They're detailed differently than the Optimus version of the mold, but it still has that. They've painted the inside of those red, and in the stock photos are portrayed as when Starscream's plugged on possessing the body, those flip up to be like the shoulder intakes on Starscream's body. Like, they've actually turned that into a sub-robot mode to make it a little bit more Starscream, and I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the X-Transbots when they came out with their three-pack of the sweeps.
Yeah.
One of them had that ghost Starscream overlay that was just a little plastic that you put on top of the sweeps like he was being possessed by Starscream. So that's really cool.
Again, going back to something that Mock Tackle said in the chat, it's a correction. That's not Spike. It's Sparkle.
Thank you. Thank you. My mistake.
Okay. Octane is pre-ordered.
It's like the morning these went up, I canceled my pre-order for the Hasbro one and put in the order for this. Because, like, between the really nice deco and the clever way they did the Ghost Starscream thing with this, I'm on board.
So I'm a little upset. Because I was looking at Big Bad Toy Store, and I saw what I thought was a G.I. Joe Tiger Force set.
I did the same thing, Brian.
Yeah,
don't
upset.
Feel bad. I thought they've combined them two together.
I got so happy.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel
now
bad.
I'm not. It's the Walking Dead crap. So, yeah. So I just don't care. Yeah, but
hey, speaking of not caring, how about this next item?
Predaking 2010 box set reissued. I got this on Amazon Black
for
Friday
$50.
For $50.
Okay. Hey, Brian, while y'all were talking about Starscream, I looked it up. For our listeners, Amazon has it in stock. It has been discontinued by the manufacturer, but it is in stock now. The Predaking, $99.99 and free shipping.
tfradio.net/Predaking then, because that URL should still work.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
cool.
This should be the exact same thing that was what we're seeing now at $179.
Which I will fix.
It's not?
I will fix. Don, I will fix that URL right now.
Okay. So, again, I think this is the same as what we're seeing here.
It is.
And with all due respect to the people that have it listed, I'm not trying to hoodoo y'all, but just to help our listeners out, you can get it right now for $80 less.
Yeah, it's worth getting. So this is the American packaging where that would be the Takara, but otherwise it should be the same thing.
Basically you're getting, you know, you're saving $80, which is basically you could buy two.
Realistically, how many people are going to actually put this up for pre-order?
I mean, if
anyone
who
their distributor sends it to?
I mean, so like...
The important thing to remember here is that while... In the U.S., we got these really cheap, really plentiful, and nobody really wanted them. This is a Takara Tomy thing. They may not be so readily available for the Japanese market. You know, these will probably be served to the Hasbro Asia market, too, because that happens a lot with this Takara Tomy stuff. You know, it makes sense probably for where it's actually coming out. It just looks a little ridiculous to us because, again, Black Friday Predakings for $50 or a sandwich, whichever you happen to have in your pocket.
Here's what gets me about this, though. If I had my choice between that 2010 Deco and the original Deco all day long.
It's more fun.
It's more fun. That 2010 Deco, I think it was Walkie who said, that it's Takara trying to pretend like the original ones didn't look like Tonka toys.
Yeah.
And he's exactly right. So, but if you want to get that recolored set, it's tfradio.net/Predaking. It's $99. Okay. So, what else we got going on here? Takara Tomy Legends reissue poll results, RC, Windblade, Blur, Fortress Maximus, and more to be reissued. Really?
Pre-orders for Legends Blur are already up. Some places. I don't know if they're still in stock at this point, but they're the same price they were originally. So
2018 will bring. So mid-December we'll see Blur, Scourge, Wheelie, and Ghost Shooter, Fortress Maximus, and Chrome Dome. 2018 will be Jetfire, RC, Windblade, Megatron, the Combiner Wars Leader Class figure, and Ultra Magnus. I have all those except for Windblade, I guess. But
that Windblade deco is nice. I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want that particular mold.
Yeah.
No, but for people who missed out on Blur and the Wheelie with the Ghost Shooter head, like, here's your second chance. Go get on that.
Yeah. So I had fully intended to talk about this last week. Let's see how good this shows up on video. If it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. So Machine Robo, the Facebook page, showed off a new Machine Robo masterpiece, I guess is the right way to put it, figures. And it's all well and good. It includes, what, Spacey, Don?
Yeah, Spacey and the orange-colored version of Blaster, which I'm sure we'll get the green and yellow repaint down the road as a case filler.
So that Shuttle Robo, the Spacey, is definitely worth getting, but I am super irritated with this because of the new or upgraded Bike Robo. He's, I guess, upscaled, new material. I don't want to buy this again. I wasn't that crazy about the first one.
But you're going to, aren't you?
Size is just like the original.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If this were the green size, and I think it has a more accurate face sculpt, maybe somebody said. I can't.
It kind of looked it.
Yeah, the face sculpt is kind of iffy on the other one, if I can get a good shot of this.
And we never got the green version of Salmore. That was,
did they make a green version of that?
No. They pictured it at one point at a show, but
yeah, they had a concept art version. I think they were doing it like it was going to be oil slick.
Yeah, I like Salmore. That was the first DX9 toy that I got. In hindsight, it's not that great, but at the time, it's a progression thing. The technology's gotten a lot better that they're employing. So at the time, it was really nice. Now, 4 or 5 years later, it's not that great. But, you know, the fact that it's a Psykill, that's pretty awesome. Okay, so I want to go ahead and jump to this. So we've been asking people to use our survey or to submit a survey to give feedback on the show. We get email off and on, but often it's questions. Not a lot of actual feedback that we can use. So I wrote up, and I've literally had it on my to-do list for 3 years. And I think it's been 6 years since we last did a survey, and that was one that we were doing through PodTrack. It was an advertising survey. It was asking a lot of questions people didn't want to answer. I didn't want to answer it when I did it, so that was a crap survey. This one I came up with entirely to make the show better. So I just wanted to go through some of the results, respond to some of the things that were suggested, things that we're going to do, things that we may not do. So, let's go. So I'm not going to go through everything, but I do want to cover a couple. The one that I got the most feedback on as far as like, a vote question was, if you're stranded on a desert island, who would you rather be stranded with? Our winner with 27% of the vote. It's our very own Headmaster Don.
What is wrong with you people? I'm crazy.
My vote. I didn't take.
Well, Don, sometimes crazy work.
Well, are you sure you didn't mean Massey and just pick me back because Massey wasn't listed? Was Massey listed?
No.
So you know. Okay.
Maybe for the next survey.
So if I had taken the survey, I would have voted Matt because Matt would be the one that would most likely get me out alive. So.
Or would Matt get himself out alive?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. I'm seeing Swiss Army Man, the sequel here, all of a sudden.
Some of this may be sausage making, but I'm going to do it anyway because I think it's interesting.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. So 58% of people don't read the show notes, which is fine because that means 42% of people do. And Google does. That's the important thing. As we know, more people listen than watch. But a surprising number of people do both when they can. Not that they watch and listen to the episode, but they try. If they can watch, they watch. If they don't, they listen. So, and that comes, we hear that all the time. So I really like hearing that. So if you can watch it, we make it available in a lot of different places.
I've got a Roku channel.
Yeah, tfradio.net/Roku. This is surprising since a lot of podcasts, it's reverse. Less than a third of people get the show through Apple Podcasts or iTunes.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that's still the number one method, but it's a plurality. There are a lot of ways that people get the show, but Apple Podcasts and iTunes are the less than 30%. This is the last demographic one that I'll go through. Most listeners are in their 30s and 40s, which makes sense because we are in our 30s and 40s.
Yep,
we're relatable.
Yeah, so we have.
Unless you're young.
I don't have the math in front of me, but I think that like 15% of our listeners are in their my monkey fell over. he hit my shoulder. About 15 are in their teens. It's about the same number. It makes sense. Bell curve. It's about the same number of people that are in their 50s and older. What, Don?
I have to say, Brian, at least you didn't have a monkey on your back. So there.
I would hate that.
There's that.
So just a couple things, because I was looking for things that we can work with for a constructive perspective, but I do want to go through this. Some likes, I'm only going to mention a couple. One, people like hearing viewpoints from veteran Transformers fans. Well, good, that's why we do the show, and that's kind of how we try to present the show, because we've been around for a while. people like they say we've got a good dynamic, great chemistry, diversity of opinions, and a level of expertise that stands out above compared to other podcasts. One bit of feedback, and I didn't write this down, but people like that they can listen to it with their family, which has always been important to me. Okay, but what I wanted to focus on, dislikes. And I do want to go over this because there's some general themes I wanted to talk to. So dislikes, actually a lot of good constructive feedback came out over the last couple of days. A couple of things I want to call out specifically. Too much affiliate advertising. I stop listening when you get to talking about the Amazon link. I know it helps offset the bills, but so I do want to talk to this one. I try to minimize the amount that we actually do it. If something comes up in conversation, it's organic, like the Predaking thing. I do want to talk to it, but I really, really try to keep it to that one reference in the show, but it just boils down to it. The more we mention it, the more people use it. And, you know, we don't do a Patreon. We don't start the show off with an ad and a plug for a Patreon. And, you know, like, hey, take a pause for the calls and let's go to on it. You know, I listen to so many podcasts where the show starts off with an ad, goes to an ad, goes to the intro, and then goes to an ad. I just hear so much of that. And then some of them even have a Patreon. And I'm like, you know, we're a non-commercial podcast. I totally get it. But what I like about Amazon is Amazon has no idea who we are. If we talk crap about Amazon, Amazon doesn't care. But I get a lot of actual interest from people who want to advertise, and I'm like, we don't take advertising. And we've been talking. I've been talking against Patreon for so long. I don't like the idea of it. We might do something like that in the future to offset that. When it boils down to it, it costs thousands, and I mean the way that we do it, thousands of dollars a year. Like if somebody wanted to go to paypal.me/tfradio and like, you know, send me 15 grand. Which would be like the target for the year, just to cover everything and do the stuff that I want to do. That would be awesome. But otherwise, we'll continue mentioning the Amazon stuff. So that's how we pay for the show. Yeah. Otherwise, it comes out of my pocket.
Yeah, because Brian, you try to make it as unobtrusive as possible. It's just,
And I get, sorry, Don, I get what he's saying because we joke about it a lot, but that's usually, in my mind, that comes off differently than the ad. But to them, to the people listening, it doesn't because they can't put themselves in our head and know how we intend things. So I get that.
Plus a lot of us are cheap bastards and we like looking for deals.
Yeah.
And so we might stumble across something that no one else knows about or hasn't seen yet.
That's true. Other dislikes. These are general themes. Bad Poets Corner. It's gone.
Aww.
Killed it last week. So I appreciate constructive feedback. People want to hear more from John. So do I.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have this came up a lot, but always with the caveat that it happens everywhere. We're nerds. And sometimes there's too much snark. I totally get that. The audio levels and the quality of the microphones. So I will say this. When it comes to the quality of the microphones, everybody has a great mic. Some people like the guys need better mics. No, it's not better mics. It's, you know, actually talking into the mic and not talking to the side of the mic. Or way far away. So I'm going to harp on the guys more about that. But everybody has a great mic.
It's not the quality of the microphone. It's the quality of the performers. We will work on it.
That's exactly right. People want to hear more from Rob, too. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah. So I
the thing is, when Rob has something to say, he says it very well and it's very intelligent. I mean, in this case, if it's a quality versus quantity thing,
yeah.
I'm pretty good with Rob's level of participation. That said, I welcome Rob's input on everything he feels like he has something to say about.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So continuing on, and this is, I'm not, some of this may be funny, but it's all true. People get tired of Bayformer bashing. Some people get tired of praising Bayformers.
Wow. That speaks of balance.
Yeah, I know.
How does that happen?
I know.
If people don't want Bayformer bashing or snark, then I have nothing left to, you know, add to this podcast.
No, a lot of people want to stay on the island with you. So don't go. But yeah, no, like some people didn't like that we bashed Bayformers, and I get that. And some people wish that we wouldn't even talk about it positively or even mention it. So,
I think that's just Matt stuffing the ballots on that point.
Possibly. The biggest single complaint that we got, and it also came up in the stuff people would change, and I'm going to sort of run these go together. Taking stuff we bought out of the show. What did you get this week? Well, this week we fixed that. That's back in the show. And we're taking it out of There Goes My Money. There Goes My Money is going to be very focused on pre-orders, which is kind of more in line with what I want to hear anyway. So this is no joke. Things people don't like: the bashing of third-party toys. Things people don't like talking at all about third-party toys. I think we got more people who don't want to hear about third-party in general than people who complained about us bashing third-party toys. Those of us who bash. That's funny, but you can't please everybody, so we got to strike a balance.
Although, I mean, overlap there. Like, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
There you go.
Yeah, I could see that. And also, like, there's kind of a self-correction going on right now, because there's not really a lot of third-party to talk about these last few months. So
we actually got an email on that. It's like, hey, why did you guys stop talking about third-party stuff? There hasn't
Unless
been a lot
you're
to talk
really
about.
Into Springer.
Yeah, exactly. There hasn't been a whole lot. I mean, a whole lot of stuff interesting. There's still stuff, but it's just the amount of quality interesting news has dropped because things stopped being new and interesting. One of my favorite things that people want to hear us stop doing. Yes, we get it. Revenge of the Fallen sucks. That's true. Let that die. Basically, stop mentioning Revenge of the Fallen. So
listen. Revenge of the Fallen stole 2.5 hours of my life. I am not letting that go anytime soon.
I think 5 of mine because I've watched it.
And about I like Revenge of the Fallen altogether.
Yes, exactly.
If Paramount won't let the movies die, why should we?
Well, let's see.
Yeah. Let's see here. So
check back on that here.
So here, a couple of them I'm gonna read. Here's two that I'm going to read verbatim. So the format is really great. No complaints, but if you guys wanted to take on regular, specific, / non-news related topics, experience as a fan or collector, I think it could be worthwhile and interesting to hear your perspectives. Whenever these topics do come up, botcons, raids, etc., it makes for a great show. Admittedly, TFYLP uses this as their format, but the possibilities are pretty endless. So realistically, we did do that for probably 2 or 3 years, 6, 7, or 8 years ago. And I felt like after doing it that long, we ran out of topics to talk about.
But occasionally we'll be inspired with something and we will have a focused like discussion about that as part of the show.
Yeah.
Or if not, it'll be like a mini cast or something.
The monkey's falling.
Like, we do still find ways to put topical content out there when it strikes us.
Yeah.
And even recently, we've kind of gotten back into that a little bit with the big item.
But that's news. At the beginning
of the show.
That's news related.
You know, Brian, if you stop
spending, we treat it more like
monkey,
a topic,
it won't
though.
Fall like that.
Thank you, Diecast. like you said, the possibilities are endless, but really after doing it for 3 years, I think I found the end of it. But that was years ago. The number of people who are listening now that were listening then, I have no idea, but obviously not the person who said this. So we could do more of it. Like, I still even have somewhere the Google Doc where I had all the topics that we went through. If we really wanted to. And we have a different crew of people, too, for the most part. We've had a lot of rollover. We could actually revisit a lot of that stuff. And then there's new stuff to talk about. So we could do more of that. And that's also kind of what the minicast is. So we try to, help's not the right word. We try to provide content that way. But we could do more of that. I like the format you used to have with the pre-recorded segments, but their absence or in some cases being spun off into separate shows that I can either listen to or ignore. At my preference, it's not such a big deal that I'd make a fuss about it. I like that format too. And that was basically the format that I started off using in the 1990s. It was kind of funny. A friend of ours, not having listened to that, was like, hey, you really need to change the show. I got this great idea. You should just do your segments and have them together in the show and just play a segment here and there. And I'm like, and I started doing it. It's like, you took my suggestion. I'm like, well, that was what I did 15 years ago. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, so I like that too. It's a lot of work. Not certain that the way that my workflow is right now, that it would be that easy to do. But I could probably do more of the producing for the podcast, the audio version, but the video version, probably too much work. So some general themes, bring back Transformers Rewind. So this is probably the thing we got back the second most. John and I were actually talking about that last week, so we're going to figure out a way to do that. Don't know how, who will be involved, but we'll bring back Transformers Rewind, and we'll make that more of a focus thing. For people who weren't around back then, basically, I think there are other podcasts like Cybertronological, if that's how you say it, where they go in and they review episodes of stuff. That's what we did back then, except it wasn't like following the series from start to finish. We were talking about things, just random episodes from different series. So we'll go back to that. We'll have to figure out the format, but I really did enjoy doing that, and I would love to bring that back too.
And that originally spun out of a segment from RFC from the relaunch, Twitter Theater.
Yes.
Which started out as being like little short clips we would find on Twitter or YouTube, turned into episode reviews. Then we spun that off to be its own thing, and then we kind of just stopped doing it.
Yeah. It just became too hard to manage. But I think if we stopped doing video and just did audio only, and admittedly, most of our viewers, fans are audio primarily, but
most of our audience, I think you mean to say.
Yes, most of our audio viewers, listeners.
Yes, most of our audio viewers.
Audio viewers.
Our listeners.
So.
Words.
So.
They mean things.
So in the What Would You Change? A lot of people said also bring back what you got this week. That's what we did. So we got like, I think over 100 responses. So I'm just trying to isolate some of the big themes. More comic talk. People would like to have more comic talk. I agree. I'll figure out how to make that happen. We got a couple people who said this, but I wanted to address this one. People would like to see, more guests. So we don't do a lot of guests and we never do interviews. That's never been my thing. I think if you listen to any interview that I've ever been on in the almost 18 years we've been doing this off and on, I think we interviewed Jim Sorensen a few times because I love Jim. He's a great guy. And Metal Hawk guy. And I think every other interview I farmed out to somebody else because I just don't like doing them. Not saying that we can't do them. It's just not my thing. But if you're talking in specific to like a guest on the show, we try to do that. But this is kind of my bias playing in. Like, there are podcasts that I stopped listening to because they just would have guests on each week and the guests would disrupt the flow of the show. But we do it if somebody's out. Like, if we have two or three people out, we'll usually bring somebody else in just to talk.
We've done that recently with Jason, Eric.
Yeah. And we try to, I know it's only like once a year, but we also try to do that with our Toy Fair coverage. So, yeah, people really like the Toy Fair coverage. It's pretty much the biggest thing we do all year, and people would like to see more of that. We can make that happen. Well, I just don't know about on this show. What was that?
I mean, I'd like to see more Toy Fair during the year, too, yeah. But there's only one of them.
But the way that we cover it. Yeah, so let's see here. Get everyone on video. We can work on that. Rob and I were talking about that before the show. Again, talking about topics, somebody like more non-news related topics. People miss the post and miss the post show specifically, since we've kind of cut that out. And people think that the post and pre-show should be their own podcast. Funny enough, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. So that's something that we could make happen. Just it might take some work and planning on my part. And Don, this one's for you. Massey needs his own show. That only one person said that. But
Massey, are you? What did you do?
Okay, so we need to get a harness with a GoPro mount, and just like,
well, you know, when I take him out for a walk on his leash, you could just film where he walks and what he pees on and what he sniffs, and there's your show. It's the Massey Show.
I can imagine you trying to put that harness on him and, you know, putting the camera on, especially if it was a face cam for the cat, and him just sitting down and swatting at the camera to make it go away. And that would just be the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's really it. I know I took a while with that, but I thought it was fun, and hopefully some people out there. And thank you to everybody who submitted the feedback. I really appreciate it. There was a lot of good feedback, and that right there is just the stuff that I wanted to hit that I feel that I could address on the show. And but there's a lot more, and I just need to do a lot of analysis on it. But yeah, we'll take what we can take into consideration, what makes sense for us to do. We absolutely will. But the stuff that where you have people that are conflicting with what they want with other people, like no third party or all third party, or one person said they want no non-toy related material on the show. I'm like, that's going
to
be hard.
I mean, to be fair, like 90% of the stuff we have to talk about from on a given week is toy related. But
yeah, so, you know, we will try to do what we can do. Okay, so, and here's the Amazon plug for the show. I did create this week, finally. It took me a while to actually get everything up, but our Amazon Canada and UK links. So now people who have been wanting to use our Amazon link and you are in Canada or the UK, you can totally do that. Our Amazon link is for Canada's Amazon, tfradio.net/AmazonCA, one word, Amazon CA. And the UK is tfradio.net/AmazonUK, one word. And I do have links on the homepage, the top page, top link in the little section. There says Amazon link, that's US. And on the left-hand side of the page, there's a link for Amazon UK and Amazon CA. And I have no idea what offers or anything those two countries have, so I'm not going to go into that. But if you want to save $80 on that Predaking reissue, like Don suggested, tfradio.net/Predaking. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, we are doing our polls for the Transformers Hall of Fame. They've asked us for nominations. We will be sending along information for the winners to be announced at HasCon. We're doing the toy poll a little bit differently this year. Every day is going to be a set of polls for the three main lines, Generations, Robots in Disguise, and The Last Knight, basically looking at a single size class. And the winners of each one will be moved forward to a final poll, pitting the all the winners against each other for our three final recommendations to Hasbro. So that's going on. Also, I reviewed Optimus Prime number 9 this week, which is out today. It's a really great issue. I really enjoyed it. It looks great. It's a good story. It's just, you've probably seen a lot of people talking about it on various social media and whatnot, because it's a pretty major story, and it's done really well. XV has an article up on why we have not seen the announcement of an SDCC Trypticon yet and whether or not we're actually going to. He makes a good case for why we might not. And basically my thought, as I think I said in the pre-show, is if we haven't heard anything by Friday, especially I'd say check MTV.com this Friday afternoon. That's not based on any information. That's just an inference on, you know, based on past patterns. If you don't see anything by then, there isn't one. And lastly, we have got the Wave 2 code list for Tiny Turbo Changers.
Need so bad.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter somebody's found them. So
take my money.
Yeah, I need more of those.
I at least want to get Squeaks. Squeak seems to have the most unique transformation out of any of the Tiny Turbo Changers.
Yeah,
I think Squeaks is an F, but check the list to be sure.
So F Squeaks, Kill, Optimus, Mary, Starscream. Wait, that's terrible.
I mean, if you're that kind of fan, sure.
If you're on, well, never mind. What
Deviant
is it?
DeviantArt.
Yeah, DeviantArt. Okay, cool. Don, what's on the network this week?
Once again, we've got a full roster. Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Living Witness. Living Witness is that episode where the Voyager's doctors, 700 years in the future, inadvertently starts a race war. It's potentially a really interesting story concept. Sadly, Voyager, as usual, puts about 37 minutes of it to waste before getting to the really good part and is stuck with a cop-out ending. but it could have been worse. It could have been every episode except Bride of Chaotica.
I just want to note Don's editorializing that summary just a little bit.
Bride of Chaotica is one of the best episodes of Voyager. It's not saying
Don's
much,
opinions on
is...
episodes. This, Don's opinions of Star Trek Voyager episodes do not reflect those of myself or anyone else on that one episode of Star Trek, or people of good taste in general.
The RFC minicast number 66, SDCC Revolution. John and the extremely handsome Don Headmaster Ferguson discussed the breaking news about the Hasbro SDCC Revolution set. Being awesome, episode 110. It's so hot, have an otter pop. This week in Awesome, Rob returns from vacation taking all sorts of nonsense. Castlevania finally comes to Netflix and Rob is ecstatic. Pacific Rim Uprising, Jaeger, Solo Chogokin design debuts at Japan Expo 2017. Rob briefly speaks about his thoughts on the new bots. Right now, I'm making my poop face. Before talking about the cool new Walgreens exclusive Titan Return Clone 2 pack. Rob likes Walgreens a whole lot and goes into how to look Transformers to actually go inside one initially. Then he watches Star Trek. No, he doesn't. Then the Q&A is all about podcasts. Ever hear of those? It's like a radio show, but on the computer.
No, I never heard of a podcast before.
Is that about growing peas? You know, like peas in a pod?
Possibly.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 10, The Board Games, Part 1. On this episode of RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty and Brian discuss the jobs board at Silver Unicorn. Dusty devised this mechanic to create some quick adventures. How did it go? Did the players try to metagame? You know it. How was your weekend? Episode 12, Music That We Love. On this episode of How Was Your Weekend, Wendy and Brian share some of their favorite music. What albums have shaped their musical tastes? What music is important to them? More importantly, what do they have in common? These two friends learn more about each other this week on How Was Your Weekend. There Goes My Money, Episode 24, Crack Up, The Gateway Drug. On this episode of There Goes My Money, Crack Up the gateway drug to third-party combiners? Also, Brian loves Pink Bumblebee. We talk about the rest of this week's pre-orders and all the awesome stuff we got this week. All this and more on There Goes My Money. Sadly, it is not a happy day in Wilkes County because Brian did not do a podcast this week.
I did do a video on the Facebook page, facebook.com/happydayinwilkes. People should go. It was awesome.
I didn't see that on TFRadio.net, so I didn't go in the show notes.
I didn't link it. So people should just go to the Facebook page and
there you go.
And Diecast, what you got coming in for RFC reviews?
What did I put up a review
on? I don't think you put up anything, did you?
I
checked. There wasn't anything since what we talked about last week.
Yeah, it's been busy.
Yeah, but you
guys are doing it. Are you going to review Velvetron and your oil change?
I don't know if I'm going to do Velvetron. He's got 4 points of articulation.
That's a quick one you can knock out, though. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Content is content. Diecast, always remember.
Yeah.
Plus, there's not been a lot of. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I still have two reviews that I shot that I just didn't edit yet.
Really?
So yeah.
What are they?
So what's coming, Diecast?
It was the upgrade kit for the MPP-10, the Weijang.
There's an upgrade for that? What can you upgrade on that?
Well, watch the view when you post it and find out.
Great.
Oh, yeah. It's fingers or hands, head, you know, that sort of stuff. Guns.
Gun. Okay.
And then what is that other thing that I reviewed?
Diecast is very tired.
Sea spray?
Yeah. No, I didn't get him reviewed yet, but I need to. I don't know. There was two reviews that I shot. I know that.
John and I recorded an episode of Get the Skinny, which I mentioned, which will be up Friday of this week. That'll be fun. And I guess that is it. Remember that you can find this episode at tfradio.net/527. There,
for the 42% of you that do.
Thank you. You stole my joke right out from under me, but I appreciate that.
I did the same thing. Jem Hadar's speech that time, so, you know, it's just kind of our dynamic.
That was so crazy. God, that we talked about that, but, yeah, people didn't watch that. That wasn't on video. Yeah, it's sad. Almost like the Meltdown from a couple weeks ago. Best thing ever.
If only there was an archive of that.
Yeah, I know.
No, there's not. It's the same. It all died in the ensuing explosion.
Don, I will say that nobody who is not on the podcast, other than Kim, has heard that.
And,
And without your permission, that will stay the same. Oh, your parents. That was so awesome. You can leave us a voicemail, 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, and on Instagram at TF Podcast. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
You can see my reviews on YouTube at RFC Reviews. You can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and you can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2.
Don?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Chris?
Chris RTXV on Twitter. Look for show-off photos from my new camera sometime in the next few days.
I can't wait to see
probably
that.
Some new video content. I actually spent my sleepless hours this morning figuring out how to make my computer render 1080p 60 frame a second video, which was not as easy as you might think.
And also look for lies and slander about Bride of Chaotica.
But I did determine in my testing that my computer is smart enough to actually encode that out in almost real time.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Cool, Matt.
On Twitter at Melvar, that's with 3 L's and 2 R's.
Rob?
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs. I'm also on YouTube at Flail Throughs. And of course, the video reviews that XV and I do for T-Formers can be found on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Cool. And John?
That John D everywhere.
Everywhere. It's awesome. And
even in your fridge.
And John, you told me yesterday something I didn't know. I don't know if it's...
Is he bringing new Soundwave back?
What was that?
No. You're going to be at TFCon USA.
Yeah.
Yay! I assumed that you were
going to breathe in the nation's capital during this proud era in our country.
And that's awesome.
Unfortunately, I for sure am not because camera.
Yeah.
Aw.
We should do a Patreon now. kidding. Maybe not. Okay.
Go fund me.
We'll see you all later. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?